Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 51 degrees and overcast. Today's Friday, July 6, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Coast Guard has suspended its search for a Haines fisherman who went overboard early Wednesday morning. The Coast Guard received a call just after 5 a.m. on July 4th that 63-year-old Richard Boyce had tripped and fallen overboard while trying to untangle gear from his boat's propeller, according to Petty Officer 3rd Class Jonathan Klingenberg. Boyce and his daughter were commercial fishing on the 39-foot fishing vessel Eleanor S. near Mab Island, just south of Berners Bay, and about 25 miles north of Juneau. Once Boyce's daughter made the radio call that there was a man overboard, more than a dozen fishing boats and tenders converged on the area. The first one arrived in less than 10 minutes. The fleet organized themselves and searched for Boyce using grid patterns. The Coast Guard deployed a 25-foot response boat from Juneau and a Jayhawk helicopter from Sitka and searched for about 12 hours. Klingenberg said weather in the area was calm with winds of 10 miles per hour, 2-foot seas, and good visibility. The water temperature was about 45 degrees. But Boyce was wearing dark green rain gear when he went over, and recent extreme tides were causing strong currents in the area. The Coast Guard said he was not wearing a flotation device when he went overboard. A fellow fisherman helped accompany the Eleanor S. and Boyce's daughter back to the Haines Harbor on Wednesday afternoon. A 2-year-old venture between a native corporation and the community of Cake is making a play in the processing business, but it's also focused on creating jobs. Margaret Friedenauer of KHNS has this story.
Rocky Pass Seafood out of Cake is operating for a second year. It's a joint venture between the Sea Alaska Native Corporation and Cake Tribal. It operates under an initiative of Ha'ani, Sea Alaska's subsidiary focused on stabilizing economies in Southeast. And that's the primary goal of the venture, said Ha'ani's president and CEO, Russell Dick.
Our whole goal here and mission is more the social impact investing. So we have to be sustainable over time. We have to make some bottom line profit for the company. But the idea, again, is about the creation of jobs and local employment opportunities for people who live in our rural communities.
Dick said Ha'ani's goal is to get out to communities and see what existing resources can be built on to create sustainable industries. He said the old cannery and Cake offered just that kind of opportunity. Dick said last year the operation had a few hiccups. The processing plant in Cake hadn't been in operation for about 6 years, and it started late in the season. But it ended up producing about 500,000 pounds of fish and employed about 30 people in Cake, a statistic that Dick said is the real purpose of the venture.
From our perspective, it was relatively successful. We put over 30 people to work in the community of Cake, all local folks. And again, that was important to us, and we had a meeting with the community to say, this is your project. We're here to bring some financial assistance and some management assistance, but this is the community's project. And if we have to bring in a significant number of outside workers, then it doesn't make any sense to us.
This year, the operation is employing about 35 people at the plant and on two tenders. Because of the energy issues in Cake, the plant is simply heading, gutting, and freezing the fish whole, Dick said.
That's one of the issues that Ha'ani is also wrestling with and will be for quite some time is the energy issue in Southeast Alaska and the fact that Cake, the community of Cake, is on diesel. You know, until that issue gets addressed, it's very difficult for us to do anything else. We can't operate a cold storage in Cake because it's just not profitable for us. So it's headed, gutted, it's frozen, it's on the on a container and out the door.
Dixie Hutchinson, spokesperson for Sea Alaska, said Rocky Pass offers fishermen an option that allows more money to stay in the state.
Those other tenders that you mentioned have operations outside of Alaska, and some of their dollars are going to be traveling outside of Alaska. That's why this is such an important part of what Ha'ani does, is that all of the money stays here in Alaska, and it keeps jobs within the communities where we're seeing people leave and having to be separated from their families and cultures.
Its prices are competitive. Rocky Pass is paying about 10 cents more a pound for chum salmon and almost 15 cents more per pound for sockeye than Ocean Beauty Seafoods, a main player on the processing front. But Dick said the Rocky Pass prices reflect final prices. Because of the infancy of the venture, he said Rocky Pass will not be giving bonuses for price adjustments at the end of the year, like some other processors do. He said Rocky Pass is also processing some halibut and is looking into processing black cod. For KHNS, this is Margaret Friednauer.
Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski heard growing concern over the expanding sea otter population in Southeast and pleas for relief from federal requirements for the region's commercial fishing industry. Alaska's senior senator met with representatives of the fishing fleet and seafood processing companies during a visit to Petersburg this week. Joe Bicknicki reports.
In the town that Fish built, just as the summer fishing season kicks into higher gear, Murkowski heard a long list of concerns and questions from the commercial fishing and seafood processing industry. High School Seafood's Chris Norris asked about the future of the J-1 visa program that allows foreign students to work seasonal jobs in fish processing facilities like those in Petersburg and others around the state. The U.S. State Department was planning to end that program this year, but granted an extension for the summer. Murkowski thought there was hope because of that extension.
The simple fact that we were able to get them to allow for a bit of a reprieve for the summer demonstrated to me that they were actually paying attention to some of the comments that were out there.
The State Department issued 4,700 J-1 visas last year in Alaska. Murkowski thought it would take more public support to secure a continuation of the program beyond this year. Another local fish processor, Wendell Gilbert of Tonka Seafoods, told the senator his company is interested in expanding into new fisheries.
Such as flounder, such as shrimp again, mm-hmm. such as perhaps kelp. Or seaweeds, or there's a lot of different markets that aren't being explored very much here yet. And we'd really like to do that because we're a smaller operator. We don't have to be invested in a huge amount of money into these smaller projects and get them off the ground. So it's one thing we can do.
Gilbert's comments sparked a familiar discussion in the fishing community, the impact of reintroduced sea otters on many commercially harvested seafood species. Murkowski said she wanted to try and help increase the native harvest of sea otters.
You know, I look at this as an issue where you've got a species that has been introduced that is still considered to be threatened, and the only thing that is threatened is every other thing on the below the food chain there, because the sea otter is not threatened. Whether it is possible to get the sea otter out from under the protection of the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Tough to do because the things are so darn cute. You probably don't think of them as cute anymore.
Otters were reintroduced to Southeast by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game 50 years ago after being hunted to near extinction in the region a century ago. They're a protected species, and Alaska natives are seeking a loosening of the restrictions for harvest and sale of otter pelts. Julianne Curry, outgoing executive director for the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association, wanted to see a change in the law that's designed to conserve threatened and endangered animals.
Because the Marine Mammal Protection Act isn't built to be able to deal with populations once they increase. And here in Alaska, but especially in Southeast, we have increasing sea otter populations, humpback whale populations, sperm whale populations, killer whale populations, and sea lion populations. And there's nothing built in place to help once things start to get out of control and the populations get too large.
A number of the people at the fishing roundtable reinforced the concern over sea otter impacts. The Icicle Seafood's fleet manager, Randy Lantine, told the senator that the expanding sea otter population is limiting diversification of Petersburg's fishing fleet.
If the otters are able to take away, say we lose the Dungeness fishery, that's a big part of the small boat fleet, their opportunity to make money through the year. It's also a big part of our employees that are year-round Petersburg residents who rely on those bits and pieces of processing work to be able to afford to stay here as fuel costs go up, all these other things.
Other concerns were over Coast Guard vessel safety compliance and vessel discharge permitting. Murkowski noted a new piece of legislation, the Vessel Incidental Discharge Act, introduced last month by Alaska Democrat Mark Begich. The bill would define and exempt from other permit requirements deck wash, ballast, and other discharges incidental to the normal operation of a vessel in U.S. waters.
It's got 8 co-sponsors on the bill right now. We're looking to see if it can be included as part of Coast Guard authorization or how we might be able to move this. But I think we recognize that this is something that needs to be addressed.
The senator also said Alaska's salmon catch was facing renewed competition from farm fish and a new possible competitor in genetically engineered fish.
The reputation of Alaska's wild, mm-hmm. wild salmon, wild fish, it really is understood now, and that has helped us dramatically. I think we're up against some increased pressure though now. You've got the farm market that has really come back quite aggressively coming out of South America. Again, you know, they had their problems with the disease and they're back. And I think that we're seeing that start to impact the price.
Murkowski said the delegation was unsuccessful in passing an amendment on genetically modified fish in a recent Food and Drug Administration bill, but she vowed to keep trying. Trident Seafoods Petersburg plant manager Dave Omer asked for relief from federal bookkeeping requirements and regulations.
It goes on and on, the way the government is more and more affecting us and making it more and more difficult. In the processing business, it's very clear. I mean, documentation, it's unbelievable, the level of documentation. For fishermen who are not prepared to do it, it's growing at the same level.
Omer said the state government takes a much more reasonable approach to regulations on fishing and businesses. Murkowski encouraged him and anyone else to provide her office with specific examples of unreasonable government regulation. The senator also met with city, school, hospital, and civic leaders to discuss economic development during her time in Petersburg. She also toured new and completed construction projects and met with local law enforcement about illegal narcotics in the community. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for rain likely, highs around 57, southeast winds 10 miles per hour. Tonight, rain likely, lows around 49. Tomorrow, rain, highs around 55, south winds 5 to 15. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.